Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now, here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. And once again, I say unto you, my precious brothers and sisters listening out there, hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from, but all of our lessons and instructions will be taken this evening from the old King James version of the Bible. And as I welcome you to this episode tonight, I am always excited, but even more so because we're entering into a part of the book of Job that we're studying that's going to reveal some truths to us that we need to glean and make part of our lives. Now, I highly suggest that you have your Bible sources open, your laptops or your tablets, your Bible apps, or regular Bibles, if you will, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. Now, another reminder, every 10 minutes or so, we will have a commercial break, during which time you may ask questions or comment or inquire if you like. The host has graciously set up a chat room for that purpose. Now, before we get started, as I always do, I'm personally taking this time to thank all of you who have taken the time to give me feedback on this particular show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, my precious brothers and sisters, I am using. So keep them coming in. Thank you for them, those in the past. And more in the future, if they come to mind, I will receive any and all, and I am thankful for that. Okay, now. As our theme song for the show suggests, the question for the hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? Jesus said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's taken from Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. The promise is that you will be made a fisher of men. And of course, my brothers and sisters, we want to have all mankind be saved. So this is critical. And the only way we can do this is following Jesus. Jesus said again, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. This is taken from Luke chapter 6, verse 37. And this is so significant, my brothers and sisters. The promise is that you will not be judged or condemned, and you will be forgiven if you do not turn around and do this towards someone else. And we're not talking about the physical world explicitly. We're talking about the spiritual world first. And then, of course, if you're not put in charge of people, then it's hold true for the physical world too. And again, Jesus said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Mark chapter 3, verse 25. My brothers and sisters, it is so critical to know that the blessing is, if you want to stand, you have to not be divided. We know that it is critical in our experience to divide the flesh from the spirit, because it is a conflict in both. And that is why we end up being frustrated. And the key is to keep apples to apples and oranges to oranges. And this is what Jesus is saying. If you want to stand, you can't be divided between the two. You have to either live a spiritual life or you live a physical life. And if you combine the two, it's trouble. It's problematic. You will be divided. Okay, so again, the question is for this hour, are you standing on Jesus' promises tonight? Now, before we go to the study, I always rehearse this because it is critical, I think, my precious brothers and sisters, that the Bible is in code, and that means that it is full of mysteries and secrets, parables, prophecies, proverbs, paradoxes, riddles, and symbols. And the only way you can break this code is through study and learning, and that's why we're here tonight, to study and learn together. And so let's go to the study. All right, turn your Bible sources with me to Job, and we're going to be looking at Job chapter 25, and we're going to look at a couple of verses, verse 2 and then verse 4 through 6. Now, this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind, my precious brothers and sisters, as I read the text to you. God will not justify evil. Did you hear that, my brothers and sisters? God will respond and punish evil, but he will never justify evil. And that is so critical to understand. And that is why Bildad cited Job with that statement, or at least with the understanding that to convict him and convince him that what he was doing was not in accordance with godliness, all right? And so this is what Bildad said to Job in chapter 25, verse 2. Dominion and fear are with him. He maketh peace in his high places. Verse 4, how then can man be justified with God? Or how can he be clean that is born of a woman? Behold, even to the moon, and it shineth not. Yea, the stars are not pure in his sight. How much less man that is a worm, and the son of man, which is a worm. So Job, Bildad made a good statement. It was right on point. But he took out he did not understand that God was the one that was behind this situation with Job, and not because of Job's faultiness, which Job was faulty, just like all of us are. But that's what got Job's cohorts in trouble with God, because God was doing this to Job as an example for us. All right? And this is how Isaiah puts it in Isaiah chapter 59. Turn with me, your Bible sources, to Isaiah chapter 59, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 4. And listen, this is how the prophet says it. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear. You hear me, my brothers and sisters? My God knows good and evil. He responds to both, if you will. But he does not justify what he does not justify. That is the key. God said to Moses, I will be merciful unto whom I will be merciful, and I will be gracious unto whom I will be gracious. We cannot fight God. We can look and consider and even question God, but we can't cite him. And that's where we get into trouble. Now, this is what the prophet continues to say in verse 2. But your iniquities has separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, none nor or any plead for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. So this is what the prophet is telling us in this instance, that God does not justify evil in man. And that is the key. And that's what the prophet is saying. Now we're going to turn to our New Testament complement. Let's go to Romans, and we'll see how Paul gives this to the Romans and rehearses it to them. I see we're at the first break. Let's take that break, and then we'll continue with the instruction.
Usually when we say, hey, you need to humble yourself and repent, we typically see that as like a rebuke, a negative thing. And it's true. I mean, we need to humble ourselves and repent. And that is difficult, but you've got to understand grace always follows humility. And so for us, we need to be people who understand every time I humble myself, it's going to work out for my good. Now what happened with Job is that happened on this earth. And there are times when that happens. I mean, the idea behind this story is that it works out in the end. But there's other places in Scripture, like when you read the book of Hebrews and it talks about these people who have faith, it says very specifically at the end that there were some people who never got to see it in their lifetime. But their reward was going to come later. They were willing to suffer whatever they needed to do on this earth because they so believed. They had a faith, and they said, no, God promised a reward for those who earnestly seek him.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, God will not justify evil. And this is how Paul exercised or rehearsed this to the Romans in Romans chapter 5. And we're going to start with verse 2. Listen to what Paul talks about. This is the justification that God gives. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom we have also access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And verse 6 and 7 or verse 6 and 8 complete the thought. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My precious brothers and sisters, from the foundation of the world, Christ died for us before we existed, before we were even thought of, before we came out of our mother's womb. So we have no idea of the justification of God unless we, by faith, as was indicated in the commercial, we stay the course. And that is what we need to do and learn from this particular instruction. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that our reprieve with God is through his son, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. We can only get there through the Messiah, whom the Orthodox Jews are still looking for. And that's why they're wandering around still in despondency, because they have not realized that Jesus the Christ is the Messiah. Okay, turn back to the next instruction. Turn back with me to Job chapter 26, and we're going to look at verse 6 through 14 in Job chapter 26. And in this instance, Job is responding to Bildad on what Bildad just said, And Job is, this is the question or the instruction that I want you to get from what Job is responding to Bildad with. Only God is almighty. Again, God does not justify evil, as what Bildad was telling Job. And Job is reflecting on that and telling Bildad he knows that God is almighty. And that's key to Job's success with God, that he has the faith that whatever God is doing, he is almighty. It's going to occur. Now, this is what Job said in 26, verse 4 through verse 6 through 14. Listen to what Job said. Job said, hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place, and hangeth the earth upon nothing. He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. He holdeth back the face of his throne, and spreadeth his cloud upon it. He hath compassed the waters with bounds, until the day and night come to an end. The pillars of heaven trembleth, and are astonished at his reproof. He divideth the sea with his power, and by his understanding he smiteth through the proud. By his spirit he hath garnished the heavens. His hand hath formed the crooked serpent. Lo, these are parts of his ways. But how little a portion is heard of him, but the thunder of his power, who can understand it? That is the omnipotence, the almighty power of God. Job is reflecting this. And we know that Isaiah, again, we can go to, and if you would turn your text to Isaiah, and we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah chapter 53. And that's what's going to give us our next standing, Isaiah chapter 53. And Isaiah chapter, maybe it's chapter 43, verse 9 through 13. It is. Turn your Bible sources to Isaiah chapter 43, verse 9 through 13. And listen to what the prophet says about this. This is God declaring his almightiness. You hear, my brothers and sisters, listen. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, they that may be justified, or let them hear and say it is true. This is God speaking to the prophet. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved. I have showed, which when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord God Almighty, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? The prophet is telling us God is almighty. And this is what's reflected in what Job told Bildad. Now let's go to Revelations chapter 19, and we're going to see how in the book of Revelations, the Spirit speaking to the church is reflecting this too in the New Testament as a complement to God's almightiness. Listen to what the Spirit says to the church in verse 19, verse 1. This is what the Spirit says. And all these things I've heard, and after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Then we're going to go to verse 4 through 6, and it's going to complete the thought. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God. They sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and as the voice of many thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. My brothers and sisters, that is almighty power. And that was declared and will be declared at the end of time, as it's read here in the book of Revelation. Okay, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that Jehovah, Yahweh, Elohim, El Shaddai, Adonai, these are other forms of God's name, is the main power in Godhead, the Trinity. God is the head of all. And that is what we need to realize, that what God does, we cannot correct, because God is almighty and all powerful. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn your sources, Bible sources, back with me to Job chapter 27. Job continues to explain to Bildad, or in this instance, Job is parabolizing what he's telling Bildad. And you know what a parable is what Jesus did constantly. He spoke in parables so that those who were not seekers, true seekers, could not rightfully divide or figure out what he was saying. They had to become believers. Again, as the commercial previously said, we have to have the faith for God to reveal his reward to us. And, of course, we know that the Hebrew writer says it's impossible to please God without this faith. Okay, we're going to go to Job chapter 27. We're going to be looking at verse 5 through 11. And this is the instruction that I want you to keep in mind as I read the text to you. Job tries to justify his righteousness. Now, this is where Job gets in trouble with God, my brothers and sisters. He still is chastised in his book of Job. Now I see we're at the second break. Let's take that second break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Christian life is not a playground, it's a battleground. So today, I will give no place to fear or failure. I will not accept a trace of apathy in my attitude or actions. I will reject complacency and embrace the greatness that God has planted inside of me. I will waste no opportunity to glorify God and maximize everything he has entrusted to me. I will fight. My battle is not against flesh and blood, but against a spiritual enemy who opposes me. So I will draw the battle lines and face my enemy with a bold determination. My enemy fights against me because he fears me. Every time I resist him, he must flee. And every time he reminds me of my past, I will remind him of his future. I will make no excuses, but through every obstacle I will find a way. I will not procrastinate my progress. I will not defer my destiny. I will not waver when I'm weak. I will not cower when my circumstances take a turn for the worse, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I will fight. Even if I lose the battle, I will win the war, because I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. I will reject the lies that echo in my mind, telling me that I don't have what it takes, that my best is behind me, or that humiliation awaits me. The devil is a liar, and my God always causes me to triumph. Through Jesus Christ, my Lord, I will fight. I'm unashamed to represent a kingdom that is unshakable. No one will be able to stand against God's plan for me all the days of my life. With my God, I will advance against every troop. With his help, I will scale every wall. Though my enemies surround me, my God surrounds my enemies. Though they may come at me one way, they will flee seven ways. Because no weapon formed against me will prosper. And every evil thing that rises against me, I will condemn, I will fight. My heart is steadfast. My purpose is immovable. I am always abounding in the work of the Lord. And my potential is unlimited because the limitless God lives within me. I will fight. The cross is before me. The world is behind me. I'll never turn back. I'll never give up. I'll never settle. I'll never stop short. I will press toward the mark for the prize that is already mine. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate me from my God. And if my God is for me, who can be against me? I will fight.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, just a quick endorsement of that commercial. Now we must stay the course. God is almighty and he saves. And only through him is there salvation. And so stay the course. Now let's go back and we're going to quickly look at this instruction. God tries, or Job tries to justify his righteousness, all right? And we are to learn from this example that that's the reason for the book of Job, to give us an understanding of how we should act and be this side of eternity in order to be successful with God. So in this instance, Job tries to justify his righteousness, and it's taken from Job chapter 27, and it's verse 5 through 11. Listen to what Job says. God forbid that I should justify you. Till I die, I will not remove my integrity from me. My righteousness I hold fast and will not let it go. My heart shall not reproach me so long as I live. Let my enemy be as the wicked, and he that riseth up against me as the unrighteous. For what is the hope of the hypocrite, though he have gained, when God hath taken away his soul? Will God hear his cry when he troubleth come upon him? Will he delight himself in the Almighty? Will he always call upon God? I will teach you by the hand of God. That which is with the Almighty will I not conceal. What Job is saying is good, but not in your own righteousness. And that's where Job got into trouble. Job felt, because he was doing good himself, that the Lord God Almighty would not put on him what he was experiencing. But of course, we know that wasn't the truth. And this is how Isaiah puts it, to make it a little clearer maybe. We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 64 and listen to what Isaiah says about righteousness, especially our own righteousness. Isaiah chapter 64, chapter 64, verse 5. Listen to what verse 5 says. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned, and those is continuance, and we shall be saved. Now, what is happening is Isaiah is beginning to tell what Job is suffering from. Listen to what verse 6 says. But we are all as unclean things, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. And he completes the thought, verse 9, Be not wroth very sore, O Lord, neither remember iniquity forever. Behold, see, we beseech thee, we are all thy people, And what Job is saying, or what the prophet is saying, is that our righteousness is filthy rags. It's God's righteousness that holds supreme, and that we must stay the course. We must hold on to the truths of God, and we must respond to him regardless of the situations. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to see how Jesus puts it in reference to our own righteousness. In Matthew chapter 5, we're going to look at verse 20 to begin with. Listen to what verse 20 says. For I say unto you, Jesus is talking, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is telling us that our righteousness is not good enough to hold water. Now he completes the thought, or explains it better or more, in verse 33 through 37. Listen to what Jesus says. And again, ye have heard that it has been said by them of old, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shall perform unto the Lord thy oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, nor by the throne of God, neither by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king, meaning that we are not to swear by any other righteousness but God. Listen to what verse 36 says. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea and yea, nay and nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. My brothers and sisters, we can be caught in between that thin line of good and evil. And Jesus is saying it is God's righteousness alone that saves. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. It should mean that the righteousness of God was revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ the righteous. And that is why Jesus was necessary to come. And that is why, as Jesus the Messiah, the Orthodox Jews are still looking for the Messiah, knowing that it is necessary for that righteousness to come and save us. Remember, Jesus says, I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. And that is key, that we are not righteous, but only through Jesus Christ are we made savable for salvation. Okay, let us turn our Bibles back to Job chapter 27. We're going to get another instruction out of Job chapter 27. We're going to look at verse 13 through 15 and verse 19 through 22. And what I want you to do is keep this in mind as I read the text to you. Job is still responding to Bildad, and Job is defining what happens to the wicked. Now, this is very good instruction, that Job is defining what happens to the wicked. Listen to what Job says in Job chapter 27, verse 13 through 15. He says, this is the portion of a wicked man and heritage of oppressors, which they shall receive of the Almighty. If his children be multiplied, it is for the sword, and his offspring shall not be satisfied with bread. Those that remain of him shall be buried in death, and his widows shall not weep. Though he heap up silver as the dust, and prepare raiment as the clay. Then we're going to go to verse 19 through 22 to complete the thought. The rich man shall lie down, but he shall not be gathered. He opened his eyes, and he is not. Terror takes hold on him as waters. A tempest stealeth him away in the night. The east wind carrieth him away, and he departed, and as a storm hurleth him out of his place. For God shall cast upon him and not spare. He will fain flee his hand. And what the Job is saying is, as the prophet Jeremiah said, the sinner that sins, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And that's the key to defining wickedness. That's what happens, death. Now I see we're at another commercial break. Let's take that commercial break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Where in the scripture does it teach that you ought to search and pursue happiness? You find happiness as you do your duty. You find happiness as you lead a disciplined life before God. You'll have periods of happiness. But God nowhere promises happiness is to be a goal in life. It's not a goal. Our goal is to obey God. Our goal is to do the will of God. Our goal is to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we move along, we will pick up happiness here and there along the way. If you sense a longing for God, a desire to change and be a new person, that's God speaking to your heart. And as you respond, He will give you the ability and the power to change, because He has to do the changing. To delay makes the right decision harder. And indecision in itself is a choice. You decide tonight that you're going to wait till some other time. That's a choice. Away from God. And your heart gets harder, the Bible says. And the next time you have an opportunity to come to Christ, your heart may not be as ready as it is tonight. He can fill that cosmic void in your heart, because that void in your heart is made because you are made in the image of God. And without God, there's a void there that only God can fill. Nothing else can fill it. Marriage can't fill it. Drugs can't fill it. Sex can't fill it. Alcohol can't fill it. Friendships can't fill it. The church even can't fill it. Religion can't fill it. But the person of Jesus Christ can fill it and can give you a brand new life from tonight on, if you're willing to accept the challenge of Christ, who loved you so much that He died on the cross and rose again and is alive tonight, ready to come into your heart and into your life.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, we're going to continue with this instruction. Job defines what happens to the wicked. Now we're going to go and turn our Bible sources to Psalms 37 and listen to how King David rehearsed this to Israel. This is significant. It's a little more, I think, amplified, if you will, or even clearer, you might say. Psalms 37, verse 10 through 20. Listen to how Job, or how King David rehearsed this to Israel about wickedness being defined. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just, and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord God Almighty shall laugh at him, because he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword, and have bent their bow, to cast down the poor and needy, and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their sword shall enter into their own hearts, and their bows shall be broken. Listen, my precious brothers and sisters, a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Let me tell you again, this is significant. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. That's the key. That's what happens. Regardless of what they have, their bones are going to be broken. Verse 18, the Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish, and the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consummate, into smoke they shall consummate away. So that is what happens to the wicked, my brothers and sisters. Now let's turn to Thessalonians, we're going to see how Paul rehearsed it to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and we're going to read verse 5 through 9. Listen, this is significant. This is what Paul rehearses to the Thessalonians about wickedness. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mysteries of iniquity, the wicked, doth already work. Only he who hath let it will let until he be taken away out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. My brothers and sisters, wickedness is going to be destroyed. Even him whose coming is after the workings of Satan, with all power and signs and lying and wondering. That's why the prophet David said to Israel that that the little of the righteous is much better than the abundance of the wicked, for the wicked are going to perish. Verse 11 continues. Listen to what Paul tells the Thessalonians. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. My brothers and sisters, you cannot follow the crowd. Remember what was said at the Palladium with Pilate sitting on the throne asking, who shall I save for you, Israel? Shall I give you Barabbas or give you Jesus? And of course, they all had their delusion and they believed the lie and asked for Barabbas and said about Jesus, crucify Jesus. And verse 12 gives the completion of this thought, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but have pleasure in unrighteousness. So that's what happens to the unrighteous. Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that wickedness without repentance is doomed to damnation. And the reason I say this is because we're all wicked. None are clean, no, not one. All are unrighteous, all. None are righteous, no, not one. This is scripture that is taken from the Old Testament and New Testament. And it tells us that only through repentance today we understand. As Jesus said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Through repentance there is salvation. Paul tells us that godly sorrow worketh repentance. Worldly sorrow worketh death. My brothers and sisters, we must take note of that. That's what I want you to understand and take from this particular instruction. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. Turn back with me to Job. We're going to look at Job chapter 28 this time, and we're going to read several verses, 12 through 14, 20 through 23, and 28. And this is what I want you to get from the reading of the instruction as I read the text to you. Job's declaration about wisdom. Now, this is something we must understand because of a truth. A lot of what was in the conversation with Job and his cohorts had an element of truth to it, my brothers and sisters. But we know that cohorts were looking at wisdom and truth through a man's understanding and not through God's. And this is where Job clarifies that. Listen to what Job says in Job chapter 28, verse 12 through 14. But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof. Neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth says, it is not in me. And the sea says, it is not with me. Now let's go to verse 20 through verse 23. Job continuing, whence then cometh wisdom? And where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we have heard the fame thereof with our ears. God understandeth the way thereof, and he knoweth the place thereof. And this is the completion of the thought. Verse 28 says, listen, my brothers and sisters, about the declaration of wisdom coming from Job. And unto man, he saith, this is Job speaking, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Remember when Solomon again says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, 13 and 14, that this, what is the whole matter of man? This is the whole matter and duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is wisdom. And we know that we're going to look now at Proverbs chapter 2 just to get a better understanding of what Job was talking about. Turn your Bible sources with me to Proverbs chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 6. Listen to how Job is citing this. Job is saying, or this is how Solomon is rehearsing this to Israel at the time, and it's taking exactly from what Job just proclaimed. My son, I see we're at the last break. Let's take this last break, and then we'll continue with the lesson.
Obedience is greater than sacrifice. Obedience means to comply with the law, an order or request, or to submit to another's authority, while sacrifice means to give up something that is precious or a jewel, something that you believe is worthy. But what we do in this world is sometimes we misunderstand that a sacrifice is not the same as being obedient. See, if we were obedient to the process of achieving a goal, see, if we were obedient to the process of being who we need to be, it would have never been viewed as a sacrifice, and confusion would have never taken place. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. And when you're being obedient to what you need to be obedient to, whether that's being obedient to your school, being obedient to obtaining success, being obedient to achieving your goal, when you understand that you're being obedient, you're not sacrificing, what you're doing is you're releasing the notion to become a voluntary victim. You see, people who think that they sacrifice, what they tend to do is they tend to believe that they're giving up time with their family, that they're giving up sleep. But it's simply you following the blueprint of what you said you wanted to do. See, when you submit to another's authority, that's being obedient. See, for me, I want to be obedient to success, and success requires me to do certain things. It means that I have to stay up late. It means that sometimes I don't get to sleep as much as I want. I don't get to spend time with the people who I always want to spend time with, but I am not sacrificing. I am being obedient to the process. And you have to be obedient to the process. And before you start to become that volunteer victim that we talked about, understand that you are simply being obedient and you're not sacrificing. There's only been one sacrifice that's ever been made to us here on earth, and that sacrifice came from the Savior. There's nothing that you can ever do to outweigh that sacrifice. And when you understand that that sacrifice that was made for you, obedience is something that you instead, you follow.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, the instruction is Job's declaration about wisdom, and we can take an extract from the commercial that obedience is the key. That is the wisdom that we're looking at. For again, it was mentioned, and Solomon said it in Exodus, that let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's obedience. That's the wisdom that's going to get you to receive the salvation that we're seeking. Now listen to what Solomon says about this wisdom more plainly in chapter 2. Turn with me, if you will, your Bible sources to Proverbs chapter 2, and listen to what he said in verse 1 through 6. Listen to how Paul, or how Solomon rehearses this to Israel. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding. Yea, if thy cry after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. Remember what Job just said? And find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. My brothers and sisters, that's the key. Only God giveth wisdom of God. Only God. And it comes out of his mouth. And he gives understanding with it and knowledge. But the fear of the Lord is the key to that wisdom. Okay, let's now go to our New Testament complement. Turn your Bible sources with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and we're going to look at verse 37 to begin with. Jesus is speaking. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, verse 37, about wisdom. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. My brothers and sisters, this is wisdom, that we watch. The blessing is that the Lord will save us if we wait and watch for him. Now verse 42 to 43 gives more. Jesus says again, and the Lord says, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? So who is applying this wisdom? Jesus says, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, so shall find doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all he has. My brothers and sisters, you want a part of the eternity that God is offering to us through his son Jesus Christ, then we must apply this wisdom to our task, and I would say daily. Okay, let's go to the next instruction. This will be the last instruction for the night. Let's go back to Job chapter 29, and we're going to see how Job continues to debate, if you will, or respond to Bildad. And Bildad's trying to convince and convict Job of his sin against God. And this is what Job says in Job chapter 29. And we're going to take some verses. And what I want you to do is keep in mind this instruction as I read the text to you. Job announces his self-righteousness. Okay, a minute ago I mentioned that Job tried to justify his own righteousness. Now he announces it. And of course, Job is going awry because we know that the prophet said that our righteousness is but filthy rags. But anyway, we're looking at Job chapter 29 because I take an instruction out of each chapter. And this is where Job announces his self-righteousness. Listen to what Job says in Job 29, verse 4. Job says, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secrets of God was upon my tabernacle. Then he continues, verse 8 through 10, he says, the young men saw me and hid themselves. The aged arose and stood up. The princes refrained talking and laid their hands on their mouth. The nobles held their peace, and their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouths. Verse 14 through 16 continues, I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My judgment was as a robe and a diadem. Job is not meek anymore. He's becoming proud in his own righteousness. Verse 15 says, I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to this lame. I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. And then we're going to go to verse 20 to complete the thought through 23. Listen to how Job got into trouble with God. My glory was fresh in me, and my bowels was renewed in my hand. Unto me men gave ear and waited and kept silence at my counsel. After my words they spake not again, and my speech dropped upon them, and they waited for me as for the rain, and they opened their mouths wide as for the latter rain. Now Job just gave in to his self-righteousness. All along, Job was defending himself well until this point. And in this point, he let out the understanding of course, God already knew that he was self-righteous. And that's one reason he was put to the test, to humble him. And that is what God does to us. Remember Jesus said that that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God, and he that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So God put Job in his place because of this. Now what we're going to do is go turn with me, if you will, to Psalms 26. We're going to look at Psalms 26, and in Psalms 26, we're going to see how David rehearsed this to Israel, and he made a proclamation too, and this is where even David, I say, was incorrect in his position with God because of pride, meaning self-righteousness. Listen to what David said. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Now, David was asking God correctly to do or to guide him. He was in his own righteousness, and that's where he went awry. Now, let's go to verse 3. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. Now, verse 9 through 12 gives us the concluding of the thought. David said, gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief, and in their eyes, and in their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in my integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. So again, he's holding on to his own righteousness, and that is where humility does not benefit you. Even though you're crying out to God for help, if you remain self-righteous, you don't receive any. And he concludes by saying, my foot standeth in an even place, and in the congregation I will bless the Lord. So now let's go to 1 Peter, and we're going to look at the compliment and how 1 Peter puts it and tells you exactly what I'm talking about this humility and the like. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at verse 5 through 7. Listen, this is what Peter says. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be submitted, subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And this is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that self-righteousness is pride, and pride is unacceptable with God, because God requires all glory. All right, my precious brothers and sisters, that concludes the lesson for this evening. And as always, as we are about to close, the host and I would like to thank you for taking part in this. And we ask God to continue to bless you, more especially because of your participation and encouragement with us in this program. Good night.
Thank you for listening to Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I hope you're blessed by our program. Please join us every Tuesday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. Good night.